The MA-17 trial evaluating the delayed use of letrozole after 5 years of adjuvant tamoxifen changed the paradigm of long-term management of estrogen receptor-positive breast cancer. At a satellite meeting in San Antonio last December, Dr. Aman Buzdar presented a case from his practice who exemplified this challenge. The patient is a 75-year-old woman treated with adjuvant chemotherapy for a node-positive, ER-positive tumor in 1993. The patient declined adjuvant tamoxifen, and 6 years later, she was diagnosed with metastatic disease. I met with Dr. Buzdar to discuss this case and the entire issue of long-term endocrine management, and he began our conversation by commenting on the very limited data available on delayed adjuvant endocrine therapy in patients without prior endocrine treatment.
There was a very old study with tamoxifen, which was done almost like 18 years ago, where the patients who were hormone receptor positive and they never received adjuvant therapy, and from several months to several years delay in initiating the endocrine therapy with tamoxifen, substantially improved the disease-free survival of these patients. So I think these women, if we can identify the high-risk women, we may be able to intervene early, instead of waiting for the cancer to recur, do something to prevent the recurrence.
And, of course, the other issue is the woman who has had tamoxifen. Maybe she's been off it for a couple years or even 5 years. And, again, the same kind of a thing. Would you consider a delayed AI in that situation?
I think more and more data is coming towards that, although we don't have a clean randomized trial. That I think the thing which we are learning, that breast cancer, which is a hormone-dependent breast cancer, ER-positive, even though we give systemic chemotherapy, give 5 years of endocrine therapy, that may not be adequate because the risk of recurrence is substantial and it continues even up to 10, 15, or even 20 years data from the Oxford overview continues to show that for ER-positive patients, the curves continue to go downward, whereas the ER-negative patients' curves tend to more or less plateau. So the risk of recurrence is substantial and it is continued. So I think there are studies which I am aware of people are planning to address this question, delayed introduction of endocrine therapy in patients who are at a risk of developing recurrence of cancer, especially AIs, to see whether we can do that.
Part of the issue, too, is, you know, we have this new sensitivity about delayed relapse in ER-positive patients. At least docs in practice have a great idea about how high that risk is. You know, for example, let's say you have a woman who got 5 years of tamoxifen, now it's 5 years later. How do you figure out what her residual risk might be?
I think that is a very good question. I think we maybe have some models to come up from the data which is available. You could get some estimate, but in an individual patient right now, we don't have anything like, say, adjuvant online or things like that. I think it might be good which physicians could have an access to a very quick information. But if you just look at simple characteristic of the disease, if a patient has a larger tumor, if a patient has positive nodes, if patient is now still young, if she has a life expectancy of several decades, it means that she has a continued exposure of risk, and that risk should be attenuated because now we have therapies which can attenuate the risk.
And, you know, I guess the other thing is that, you know, now we just saw another data set, the NSABP B33, looking at delayed exemestane after tamoxifen. And it was fascinating because the trial had to stop because the MA-17 data came out. There was contamination. It was unblinded. Patients stopped the therapy. They started therapy. And yet, in spite of all that, they saw a significant reduction in delayed relapse. What were your thoughts about that study?
Well, I think it confirms the MA-17 data very strongly that with a much smaller sample size, with crossover, which happened after the data of MA-17 became available, in spite of that, you see significant reduction in the relapses of breast cancer, which is remarkable. And I think it supports the evidence that these patients are at a continued risk and that risk should be attenuated.
I guess the other thing relevant to your case is it's so tragic. I see these cases. I know they're not common, but they're the kind of cases people want to present when we have our meetings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm thinking, wow, maybe somebody should have thought a year before. If you'd only thought about it a couple years, maybe this metastatic disease could have been prevented, all the things that happened with this woman. How was she actually diagnosed with metastatic disease? Did she have symptoms?
No, actually, she was very asymptomatic. Somehow, she went for evaluation and somebody ordered a tumor marker, CA2729, and
right.
It was elevated. And then we started to look for the reason, and then we found the hepatic metastases.
What was her life situation at that point?
She's actually fully functional, 100% performance status, totally asymptomatic.
What was her reaction when she was diagnosed?
Any patient reaction is that patient, anytime you tell them that first you have a cancer and then you tell them the cancer has recurred, it is almost the next question comes in the mind, when I'm going to die. But the thing is still, I think, very good from our patient point of view that there are effective therapies which can palliate these patients for some time, maybe even for decades. With appropriate utilization of currently available endocrine therapies, systemic therapies, we have shown from MD Anderson data, and there are now other studies which clearly show that metastatic disease, you may not be able to eradicate, but you may be able to control it for an extended period of time. And I have some patients in which we have disease under control for maybe a decade or longer.
But I don't know whether anybody's looked recently to see, you know, sort of what the median survival is now today of metastatic breast cancer. I'm sure it depends on whether it's ER positive, HER2 positive, et cetera. I mean, the old numbers were like 2 or 3 years.
No, but we published our data very recently, about 2-3 years ago. The survival we looked at, it was a very interesting subgroup of consecutive series of patients who were in the adjuvant trials. These were all patients who were prospectively, after diagnosis, were into adjuvant trials, registered trials at MD Anderson. So we looked at those patients who recurred. And first trial which we started was in 1975. So the patients who failed in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, and in the 2000s. If you look at it, there is a progressive, stepwise improvement in survival. And you can stack, actually we have, this was published in Cancer, and on the other side you can stack the number of drugs which FDA has approved for treatment of cancer. The survival curve is always stepwise going up.
But I mean, still, what are you looking at in terms of median survival?
In ER-positive patients, median survival will be at least close to 4 years now.